Okay, back on the Young Turks. All right, go ahead, Casper. What's your alternative career path? Fantasies.
Okay, okay. So fantasy number one is what I'm already doing, so don't get it twisted. But like sometimes I have these fantasies where there's more time in the day, like double time in the day, and then I can have like a second career, right?
Yeah, because most people who have fantasies about doubling their time think, what if I could work even harder?
Because there's so many things that I want to learn how to do. Okay, so first of all, one of my I'm like super into like financial advising, right? And like I'm not a professional financial advisor, so
I wouldn't
professionally give advice. But
on the other hand, she has made such financial charts as inflation, tuition.
Okay. Yeah. However, so I my brother got a business degree in undergrad, and so I texted him last week, and I was like, I think I'm gonna go back to school and get a degree in finance. And he's like, why? And I was like, because I wanna be an expert in finance. I wanna be able to do like, okay. I want my reporting to not shift away from politics, because politics is always something I wanna talk about. But I wanna also talk more about the economy, the stock market, like just financial stuff. Like I just find it's so interesting, Cenk. It's so interesting. Yesterday during dinner with my best friend, I was like giving her the 411 on how your credit score is calculated, because a lot of people don't know, right? And so I was like giving.
And they really want to know. They want their friend to tell them over dinner. No, seriously, let me tell you the minutia of how your credit score gets calculated.
But she
You're
seemed
going
interesting.
To be scintillating. Oh, she of course seemed, she was.
Anyway,
how many drinks did she have?
We both were pretty toasty. Okay, let's just put it that way. Right. But anyway, so yeah, like the financial advising stuff, I feel like I can somehow incorporate into what I'm doing now. I just have to find the time to get educated on it. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go back to school. That's ridiculous. But I've started like reading a lot of really great books, actually.
Dave Ramsey.
I listen to Dave Ramsey, who's actually very intelligent on these issues. I love Dave Ramsey.
See, there are Republicans we like.
I really like that? Dave Ramsey. There's The Intelligent Investor, which is a classic. Like, you've got to read that book.
No, I don't.
Okay, but anyway, so that's one thing. That's less interesting and fun, I guess. So here's the other thing. I feel like the most worthless human being when it comes to fixing things around the house, building things. Like, it's so admirable when people can build, like people build fucking towers in this country, right? Mm-hmm. They build these skyscrapers. I can't even figure out how to fix the toilet. And so now I'm like obsessed with do-it-yourself projects at home. And I'm not talking about little things like arts and crafts bullshit. I'm talking about I want to install a shower door all by myself, right? And that's a small thing, actually, in the grand scheme of like construction and whatever. But here's the thing, like, so the place that I moved into has an extremely, extremely old bathroom. It hasn't been touched since like the late 70s, maybe early 80s, right? And so, yeah, it's a fixer for sure. And so I was like, no big deal, man. I'm gonna put aside like a couple grand. I'm just gonna renovate the whole thing. Just gonna renovate it all, right? I thought you can like create or build like a dream bathroom for $5,000. I was wrong. I was very, very wrong. Like I kept meeting with contractors, and you know they would quote me at $21,000, $30,000, like ridiculous prices. And the materials are not that expensive. If you go out and buy the materials yourself, you know, you can get pretty much everything you want for about $5,000, right? Mm-hmm. It's the labor that costs a lot of money. And then I was like, if I knew how to do electrical stuff, if I knew how to do plumbing, if I had upper body strength and can lift things like a cast iron tub, I could fucking rule the world, right?
Oh, no, you couldn't. All you could do is build bathrooms. It's actually fairly useless.
No, I want to learn how to build things. It's tangible. Like it's something. Like you see the product, or you see the fruit of your labor.
It's enormously overrated.
I wish I had time to learn how to build things, learn the ins and outs of finance, and then. There was one other thing
that
I forget.
Hold, because I have 1,000 things to say about the things
you
just said.
Go ahead.
So first of all, I've built bathrooms. So if you.
Did you really?
Yeah, so if you want a bathroom.
You can rule the world, Cenk.
Okay, well, it turns out, there you go. First interview I ever did at a local Pittsburgh paper, we're in a local Pittsburgh station at the time, and they said, what's your goal for the Young Turks? Okay? And I said, world domination. He said, how are you going to do that? He's like, I said, I already built a bathroom.
Done.
Okay, I didn't say that last part, but I did say the thing about world domination. So I've told this story before. I used to work in construction for my dad, child labor, under minimum wage. That's why Republicans love my dad. From 12 to the age of 18, carried sheetrock, rebuilt office space. And so we would smash things and then we'd rebuild them because the whole point is a new tenant wanted a different layout for the office, okay? Or the floor or wherever they were doing it. The smashing was super fun. Carrying the sheetrocks, everybody hated. I didn't mind because I'm a lugger. So one day I had to build a whole bathroom by myself. Hated it. But I was definitely super proud
by
the time.
You really built a whole bathroom by yourself?
Pretty much, yeah.
That's amazing. Okay, so plumbing, electrical stuff, like you learned how to
No, you hired people to do that part. To be fair, of course I didn't do electrical. I was like 16 years old.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, you can't do that.
Yeah.
Right? But no, but I would do the spackling. I did the painting.
Tile?
Tiles.
Wow, how was tile? Was that super hard?
I remember all of it being incredibly painful and laborious. Not painful as in like I'm in pain, but like, oh, this is so
annoying.
Like
tedious?
Tedious. And plus, you know, as I've said a billion times, I'm not good at spatial reasoning. So I'm like, oh, where do I put the tiles? How do I make them even? It stressed me out so much.
And
then I'm also a perfectionist. So then I'm like, what the fuck? And then I realize in all the bathrooms, if you look, the spackling between the tiles are so uneven because it's actually very hard. You have to actually slowly chip away at it and stuff. So everybody just does it and then they don't chip away at it, they just leave it. And once I realized that, because when I did it myself and I'm like laboring over it for hours and hours to get it right, and my dad's like, let's do it right away. Nobody cares about the spackling. Who cares? Just go. You have that, you carry more sheetrock, you dummy. He never said you. Anyway, so now look, I don't want to put down people who build things. God bless your heart. Everybody's got a different thing that turns them on. Andrew, one of our editors, built the iguana cage.
Oh my God, I need to hire Andrew. I just realized that he can build things.
He can build the shit out of things. You see that cage? It's not a cage, it's a
palace.
And
he works here, so he needs the money. Like, I'd rather pay him. Okay, all right.
Okay, so but to me, all you did was you built that thing.
No.
And like, again, I'm not trying to hate. If you do that, bless your hearts. But for, like, to me, you know what's tangible? And it happened again the other day at Oxford. One of the students came up, he's actually from the US, and he said, Cenk, I grew up evangelical Christian, started watching the Young Turks, and you talked me out of it. And I feel free. Oh, that feels 1,000 times better than building a bathroom. And that is much more tangible. You changed that guy's life, I hope. I believe, according to him, for the better.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
That's 1,000 bathrooms, dude. That's not even close.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Look, there are upsides and downsides to everything. I think right now, it's not the process of what I do. It's more the topics that keep coming up over and over again. And it's making me kind of crazy. Like, I just, it's depressing and it's sad, and there's like a lot of pressure. If you work in news, there's a lot of pressure for you to constantly be on, constantly be reacting to stuff in the news, right? And right now, I don't want to react to things happening in the news unless I'm here, right? Yeah. So I do my job here, and then when I'm home, I'm not on Twitter, I'm not on Facebook, I'm not, sometimes I'm on Instagram, but I just
want to chill.
I want to chill, and I want to like immerse myself in something completely different, and that's why I have like this newfound appreciation for people who do construction, because look, it is tedious, it is very difficult to be perfect when you build things. But again, like if you have the knowledge, you can turn like the crappiest place into a freaking palace, right? And you can rely on yourself. Like there's something so desirable about being able to rely on myself. I hate that I have, look, and no disrespect to contractors out there and all the construction workers or whatever. I hate that I have to rely on them. I hate it. I hate it. I hate that sometimes I feel like they might be lying to me about things and overcharging me for things and whatever. Yeah. And I'm just like, I know I have like the intelligence to do this on my own, to learn and do this on my own.
Totally inefficient. Can't stand it. We're spending too much time on it, so I'll just say the last thing and then move on to finance. I'll move on to my topics as well.
Okay.
So, but Anna, that's why we have division of labor, right? And so I'm thrilled when I pay people for stuff I don't want to do. They want to do it. That's why it's their job, kind of. That's why it's their job, right? Mm-hmm. So I pay them. They're happy. I'm happy because I don't have to do that crap. Like being self-reliant is preposterous.
It's so
we don't live in the goddamn woods. We're civilized human beings. We can have other people cook our omelets and build our bathrooms. Okay, so it's okay.
Self-reliance for me is freedom, and it's just
not for me.
Super desirable.
Look, you know what gets you self-reliance? Money.
Yeah,
that's what gets you self-reliance. Just keeping it real. Okay, all right. Which then leads us to the finance portion of your discussion. So I did go to business school. I went to business school undergrad. And you know, I dropped out of the finance class. This Wharton is known for finance, but I hated finance. Mm-hmm. And so it's the Professor Ramaswamy story where he just kept putting up slide after slide going, "Are you with me, baby? Are you with me, baby?" And I had lost him after the second slide. And I kept thinking, "I am not with you, baby." And halfway through, I had to beg him to get drop his class. I'm like, "I'm not good. I can't do this. My brain is not built for this. Please, I am not with you, baby. You gotta let me go." Okay. Switched over to labor management, where we then did negotiations, which I loved, and broke a school record. No big deal. So, okay. So you guys have heard that story before. Accounting. I'm now having to do a lot of accounting for TYT. The business end of the Young Turks, you don't wanna know about it. It is a fucking beast, man. So you know how we always talk about how I work a lot, right? And you guys see me on air a lot, yada yada. But that ain't half of it, man. The business end of TYT is monstrous. It is a Herculean task to keep things afloat, okay? Mm-hmm. And part of it is now accounting. Okay, well, but then that money should have been accrued over a period of time. So even though you got the money then, it doesn't. You actually do have to take it out of your books then and put it in the 6 months before then. Because
I fucking love this kind of stuff.
I hate it.
I love managing money. Like, it's just so much fun. And it's weird because I was honestly mentally challenged in math classes.
You are mentally challenged.
No, but it's so crazy because once it comes to money, like, I am a fucking whiz.
That's interesting. Okay, 6 plus 7.
13. Sorry, but that's not fair. You just like randomly
8 times 7.
No, stop. Don't do this to me right now. Don't. Cuz it's going to continue and I don't want to play this game.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm really bad at math when it doesn't matter, but when it matters, I'm very good at it.
Sure. Okay. Anyways, so let's go on to my career path. Okay. Mm-hmm. So my alternative career that I would have loved is porn star. I'm just kidding. Okay. I mean, I'm sorry. Cool, I assure you that I could. You know that.
Okay. Go ahead.
No, but you know what? Porn director. I think I would have been it. Excellent porn director.
Yeah, it's just creepy thinking about you in that role, to be honest.
Like, no, I'm just directing. I'm just saying, okay, now.
Yeah, it's creepy.
Okay. And I just like an orchestra leader. Anyways, no, I'm kidding. Of course, partly. That would be like number 13 on my list or number 8.
Real quick, every once in a while in porn, it's always hilarious when you see the actor or actress look at the director for direction. Uh-huh. And you're just like, oh yeah, that's right. They're acting. Like, it's just. Oh,
I've never even noticed that.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
funny.
Yeah. What are they like? Keep going with the.
I mean, they don't make the gestures, but they make eye contact with whoever it is behind camera, and they get some sort of cue, and then they change positions.
We're going to. Okay. All right. I've never noticed that. I like how you're critiquing the porn.
I know.
Like, they're really poor direction in this porn. Thumbs that rotten tomato, 14% on the tomato. Anyway, a preacher would have been another fun one. Like, you just work on Sundays. You go in and then you rabble rouse. I'm good at that, right? Like,
yeah.
And then the Lord says, amen. I'm going to get an amen.
Yeah.
Okay. I would have loved that. That would have been fun. But that's not number one. You guys know number one is, I'm blanking on the name now. Not
Muse.
Therapist. What?
Muse.
Muse?
That's what you used to say back in the day, that you wish you could be like a motivational speaker.
No, not motivational speaker. Not Muse. I think Muse is female, but life coach. That's what it is.
Life coach.
Life
okay.
coach.
There we go.
Right? So I give people advice on what to do with their lives. Now, whether you take it or not is up to you. Okay, I'm not a therapist. I don't want any fiduciary responsibility towards you. I'm not going to follow any stupid fucking rules. Okay, sorry, my wife's a therapist. There's a lot of rules. There's a lot of rules. Okay,
yeah.
Ethical rules. I don't want that. I just want to say, hey, Dick, this is what you should do. You don't want to do it? That's your problem. Okay,
yeah.
But here's what you should do, and that'll make your life better.
Yeah.
Now, if you do what I tell you to do, you'll be happier. But do your call.
Yeah.
Okay. And you know what? I would have called my practice, and I would have written a book about it. I might still write that book one day. Two choices. Okay, two choices. You either do it or you don't do it. Your call.
Yeah.
Okay, doing it is probably a pain in the ass. That's why you're not doing it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But it gets you better results. But if you don't want to do it, well, then quit your belly aching because you made that choice, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it was hard, so you didn't want to do it. I hear you, brother. Sometimes I do the same thing, but then don't cry over it.
So. I love that. I think that would be a really great career path for you, and I think you'd inspire a lot of people. And I think you do that to some extent on the show. So it's like
maybe on a macro scale.
Yeah. But like just hearing you talk about it got me super pumped and like motivated because I'm gonna give a keynote speech at VidCon, and it's supposed to be like an inspiring speech. Mm-hmm. And the topic I proposed, and they seem to like it, is you need to break the rules to succeed, right? And so I'm gonna talk about how we broke the rules and a lot of other things that I've personally experienced.
But like when you ran over that intern we had and broke her legs,
right,
so you could get this job.
And then I ran away. Yeah, like hit and run. You break the rules, but sometimes you end up ahead. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. That would be fun to do.
Yeah. That's great. All right. So we've talked about that in the past. So the other thing I fantasize about it all the time. Author. Just go and write somewhere. Like I was in Bath. Bath is so lovely in England, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm like, no, this is one of the places I'm gonna come write a book. Just sit there for like 2 weeks. Just you write, walk around a little bit. It's lovely. Get some pastries.
Yeah.
They have a cafe on a bridge. Like the store is built into the bridge, and you can see the water, and it's so goddamn cute.
Yeah,
it's the quaintest thing you've ever seen in your life.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do the class, right? You write a little bit, you have a little pastry, a little coffee. I'd be perfect. You know why I fantasize about it? Because no daily timelines. So the daily timelines of my life is what drive me fucking nuts. 9 o'clock meeting, 10 o'clock call, 11 o'clock meeting, 3 o'clock the show's going. You got to get on the show, you got to get on the show, you got to get everything ready for the show.
Yes.
So I just want to have like a deadline that's like a year from now. Nice and easy.
Yeah.
And it allows me to get out my thoughts. So perfect. That's what I do anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I love
You're romanticizing being an author a little bit though, because in order to be a successful author, you have to work with publishing companies and you have to work with literary agents.
I'd murder it and then I'd have the leverage.
You think you'd murder it and then by the time you've written your, 382nd book proposal or version of the same book proposal, you'll lose your fucking mind. So
No. This assumes that I'm a bestseller. Let's move on.
Oh, okay. That's perfect.
Well, which is, of course, what's going to happen. I actually love writing. I love the different turns of phrase, the different ways that I view that as an art form.
Mm-hmm.
How you paint a picture, but with words.
Oh. Deep.
Deep. Okay. And then finally, and ironically, we come full circle, and you might be shocked at this, hedge fund manager.
What?
What in the world? Okay, so why? I just told you I don't even like finance.
Mm-hmm.
Because hedge funds are like gambling, which I love.
Yeah.
Okay. But the odds are with you. You're the house, okay? So I have a friend who works in hedge funds, and so not all bankers are bad people, not all people in the financial industry are bad people, of course, right? And their job is to collect as much information as possible, all public, right? Mm-hmm. And so then they have more information than the rest of the market does, because that's their job, that's their day-to-day job. And since they make a lot of money anyway, they can hire a lot of people to go collect that information for them.
Right.
And then they make very educated guesses on which way stocks are going to go. And I like hedge funds because you could bet the stock to go up or to go down. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's the whole point of a hedge fund. Okay. And so that actually seems like a super fun job. It's stressful because if you lose money, you're right? But now that's gambling for a living, but the odds are in your favor. It's like actually kind of awesome as long as you're not a dick about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just don't be a dick about it. Exactly. Yeah.
And it actually doesn't, I know it sounds funny, but it doesn't involve much finance. It involves information.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Definitely. Yeah.
It's not like, okay, how are we accruing these gains? No, just is the stock going up or is it going down? And so I'm oversimplifying, but not by that much.
It just sucks that like you can only pick one thing and do that, right? I mean, there are some people, like there are some athletes that have played professional sports in a bunch of different types of professional sports, right?
Kind of.
Yeah.
It's very hard to play professional sports in two sports.
Right.
So only a couple. Bo Jackson did it successfully. Even Michael Jordan was not successful when he tried to do it. When he went to baseball, he was a flop.
Wow.
Tim Tebow's trying baseball now. I hear he's doing okay.
Really?
What's that?
Sanders.
Bernie Sanders?
No.
I think he did, though. He played basketball and track.
Barry Sanders. Yeah. Football.
Oh, he did baseball? I didn't know Barry Sanders did baseball. That sounds wrong. Okay. Deion Sanders, yes, thank you.
Definitely not Barry Sanders. I think I remember Christian telling me about.
And definitely not Bernie Sanders. Deion was about, one of the very rare cases that was successful in both, but more success, much more successful in football. Anyway, so, and of course me as well. I did three sports in ninth grade. Football, wrestling, until I came. And track. I was the worst track athlete. You couldn't even call me an athlete. The worst track participant in track history.
Really?
I came in dead last in every single 400 that I ran.
All you had to do is use the same strategy that you used with me. Just breathe really hard as you're right behind someone and scare the fuck out of them.
I know, but I couldn't catch them to breathe hard on them.
Oh my god, okay, I'll stop.
and I couldn't throw that discus if my life depended on it. I once literally threw it backwards. I'm not kidding, it's absolutely true.
Man.
All right, are we done?
Yeah.
All right, God bless. All right, we'll see you at TYD Classics.